it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of Bucks in Six, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast brought to you by Fans First Sports Network. My name is Steven Dorf, and alongside me, as always, is my co-host Hershey Winkleman. Check us out on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bucks in Six FFSN. And you can find this and all of our other podcasts on either Apple or Spotify, so be sure to check those out. All right, Hersh, so Pacers steal game two from us. In the last episode, you felt pretty confident about us moving forward in this series after, you know, almost beating them or, you know, going up 30 points in the first half of game one and, you know, ultimately winning that game. But clearly winning in four is no longer an option, but are you still confident in your Bucks in five take?
No, I'm not. I've completely changed my mind after what I saw last night. I didn't think that Pascal Siakam was necessarily going to average, you know, a 35-point double-double throughout the series. I thought maybe, you know, you could expect, you know, one game of that, and then he would kind of settle back down, back to the mean. But no, he's just back at it again with, you know, 37 and 11. So props to the Bucks defense there for not making literally a single adjustment against the guy. And you know, them just saying, yeah, here, Pascal, you can have another 35 plus point game pretty easily. In fact, it didn't look like he, you know, was even trying out there. So, yeah, horrible performance defensively, from the Bucks again. And I didn't really think we even played that well defensively in the first game. I just think that the Pacers couldn't shoot. They missed 25 open threes in the first game. And, you know, they were a top five jump shooting team throughout the regular season at converting their jump shots. And that clearly came out to bite us again here in game two. I mean, we're just giving up way too many jump shots to these guys. They're getting wide open shots. The rotations on the back end have been atrocious, Steve. I don't know if you've been looking at our I've been watching our defensive rotations when, you know, the Pacers have the ball and they're passing it around the perimeter. But, I mean, damn, our guys are just slow as shit. They are not moving around at all. No backside rotations. You know, Beasley's getting lost on defense. Crowder's too slow to the corner. You know, Middleton's the guy out there that's barking out defensive orders. And, you know, we've been talking about all year how he's kind of, you know, regressed as a defensive player. Yet he's the only one out there that looks like a defensive leader. Brook Lopez was, you know, a top three defensive player of the year candidate for the past 2 years. And, you know, where is that? Where is that? Where's Brook Lopez playing, doing his job in any sort of way? I mean, obviously he had 23 points and he was hitting his threes, but it doesn't matter if you're a center and you have three rebounds in a 48-minute game that you're simply just not doing your job. And he can't run the floor. He gets caught on the ground. And if he doesn't make it, then he can't get back, which is a huge issue because he's just simply too slow. And I've been saying it all year long. I don't think Brook Lopez can be an effective player at this point in the NBA. I think the pace is simply just too high for him. And if he's not making his threes, he's literally an ineffective. it's basically 4-on-5 because he can't move around on defense. So yeah, Steve, I'm pretty upset about the way we played last night. I thought the game was over midway through the third quarter. And hopefully we're able to come back in the next one with some more fight, but it was just an absolutely brutal performance from what I saw last night.
Yeah, well, a lot to unpack there, Ahirsh. Well, talk on Brooke, I think that at least your anger with him is a little misdirected. I thought he was honestly one of the only reasons we were in that game for most of it, or, you know, the first half rather. But, starting with Pascal Siakam, I mean, we just don't have the guys to guard him. I mean, the guy that we need to guard him, who can guard him, who's the only one who physically can, you know, stick with his size, stick with him because he's quicker than Jay, like you said, quicker than Bobby, quicker than Brooke, is Giannis. And he's hurt right now. So, I don't even know what you really can do. I mean, because, yeah, he's just shooting over guys. He's able to get to his spots, and we can't do anything about it, partially because, yeah, we are old and slow, this and that. But yeah, I just don't think we have the guy for Pascal.
Well, we don't even have any rim protection. I mean, when you have Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez out there, you would at least like expect to, you know, stop things near the basket. But no, they're getting wide open layups. They're getting wide open lanes. There's no rim protection at all. And that has part of that is like Siakam. Like he's literally just getting to the rim, no matter what the matchup is. And I just feel like that shouldn't happen when you have guys like Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis out there. They should at least provide some rim protection, but I haven't seen any of it.
I think it just goes into them pushing the pace on us. You know, they did it in the second half of game one, I meant. And in this one, they were able to do it on us all game. And I think, you know, a lot of it is, we've talked about this all year too, is not complaining after you think you got fouled. Bobby, Brooke, they love to do it. Chris does it. There was one play where Bobby literally sat down under the basket after missing, thinking he got fouled, and it was a complete 4-on-5. Thankfully, the Pacers missed the shot, but like that's not playoff effort right there, Bobby. And I understand you had a bad game. Like, he was very, very poor in this one for the first three quarters. Couldn't do anything really until the fourth quarter, but at that point, we were down 20. Game was over. In games that Giannis doesn't play, Hirsch, I think Bobby needs to step up. I think Bobby, you know, we love Bobby, fan favorite, this and that, but I think he was a big factor to why we weren't able to win this one. I just don't think he gave us enough.
I mean, he hasn't given us enough in either of the first two games, in my opinion. I think we're lucky to get away with that game one win, obviously off the back of Dame's heroic first half. But I mean, in the regular season, when Giannis was not playing, Bobby was a shoe-in for 25-plus points and 10 rebounds on good efficiency, and he hasn't even been near that in the playoffs. He looks, like, honestly, kind of, like, timid out there. He looks scared. A lot of his shots are short, and especially with those, like, floaters and those little jump hooks that he takes in, like, the post and the little mid-range area, he's not making, like, really any of those. Even, you know, I saw Chris Middleton had a really nice dump-off to him, and he laid it up and he made it. But like normally, you know, you see Bobby slam that down with authority, especially at home in a playoff game where you kind of need that energy. You know, it was an easy dunk. I would much rather have just seen him, you know, dunk it instead of trying to just put up a little layup there. Obviously, he did make it because it was wide open and it was a really nice pass from Chris. But yeah, I think that was actually his first bucket of the game. It was just almost at the end of the second quarter, which again is what we're talking about. You can't have Bobby Portis have a 4-point first half. I mean, that is just absurd. He's at that point, you know, with Middleton being like because obviously he had that injury scare in the first half where he stepped on someone's ankle and then he fell down with an apparent knee injury. They had to change his knee brace on the side, but I mean, Bobby's got to be that like scoring option. Like, we don't have another player on our team that can get a shot off, that can create their own shot other than Damian Lillard, and they're double and triple teaming him like super far out. Like, they're literally the second that they do a pick and roll with him, he's getting trapped off the pick and roll and has to get rid of it. And normally that pass is going to Bobby, who's slipping, but Bobby can't do anything with it because he can't finish right now. He's not confident. And it really sucks to see because when Giannis is not there, he needs to be, you know, aggressive, and we're not seeing it, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, hey, hopefully Bobby can get things figured out, you know, in game three and moving forward. But yeah, I mean, it really just comes down to, in games without Giannis, outside of Dame, Brooke, and Chris, other people need to step up. The entire roster needs to step up. nobody on this team made a three-pointer in game two, except for Brooke, who is 6 of 7, which is why I don't understand you being disappointed with him in this one. But Brooke was phenomenal in this one from deep. Chris hit a three for us, and then obviously Dame gave us what Dame gave us. Another excellent first half. Nobody else on our team hit a three. We're not going to beat, you're not going to beat this team if your other guys aren't stepping up. You know how high-powered of an offense they have, and without Giannis, with the shots that, our team takes, it's going to be very hard to limit their transition play and slow them down, because Dame does, take those 30 plus footers, and Brooke does too. So you need other guys to make shots. You're going to have to make more shots than these guys. And in game two, we simply didn't do that.
And yeah, I don't want to say that, Brooke was necessarily bad, because he was obviously very, very good offensively. Steve, my gripe with him is a little bit more of the dirty work kind of things. I simply don't think he gets enough rebounds for his size. I mean, the guy's 7'1", 300 pounds. He should be getting more than three rebounds. And defensively, he has three blocks, but I just think there's way too much free cheese at the rim for the Pacers. I mean, it's just too easy for them defensively. So I think that's where, my kind of problems with Brooke come in. Obviously, he's comfortable taking those 35 footers, five steps behind the line. I definitely don't, love it when he takes them. I think it's, kind of a prayer, and luckily he was able to make, 6 of 7 from three. But I mean, we've seen nights where Brooks, 1 of 7 from three, and that would have put us in even a worse place, especially if he's not getting rebounds and not playing good defense. So that's kind of where I think the offense is at for us. And I think, the Pacers as well, they obviously clearly had nerves game one. I thought the lights were a little bit too bright, like you mentioned in our previous pod for them. And they were able to, completely settle in. Felt like, even their role players were kind of getting what they wanted when it came to, Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard, even TJ McConnell. And I just want to touch on one thing before we hit the break here, Steve. At least watching, because I know you were at the game, but at least watching from on TV, the officiating was some of the worst officiating I've ever seen. It was absolutely horrendous officiating, and I did find out today that the main guy, James Williams, is from Indiana and went to Purdue, and the Pacers are 31-3 when he's reffing their games. So I would just like to start a petition that James Williams should never be allowed to referee a Pacers game ever again, because he's clearly biased, and that's just ridiculous that he's even allowed to do that. but yeah, I just think the officiating in the playoffs has to be better. I mean, LeBron's touched on it. Obviously, there was an iffy call at the end of that, Sixers Knicks game where Tyrese Maxey got his jersey held. I personally just think that in the playoffs, the regular season doesn't matter too much, and whatever, the refereeing is whatever, but in the playoffs, these refs have to step it up. I mean, this is just atrocious officiating from what I've seen in the past, couple nights of just watching playoff basketball.
Yeah, I like that. You
it's
got
across the league. It's across the league. It's not just for us. But obviously, yeah, that James Williams thing is ridiculous, and he should never be allowed to ref a Pacers game. But it's across the league. I think the officiating is really, really bad in the playoffs so far.
Yeah. Hey, you got your tinfoil hat on over there. I like it. but no, yeah, I mean, hey, we lost by 17, and as bad, I agree, the officiating by no means was any good or anything close to good. But we lost by 17 in this one, and I think it was more than just, poor officiating that, put us in that spot. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of where I am with that.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't, blame the loss on the officials. I just think they need to just be better and more consistent throughout games. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, preview this upcoming game on Friday. Bucks first away playoff game in Indiana.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back on the Bucks and Six podcast. I'm Hershey Winkleman. He's Steven Dorff. We're going to preview this upcoming big game 3 on Friday in Indiana. After, you know, we ended up splitting our two games at home to open the series. Steve, it's going to be obviously a tough environment. We know how much, you know, Pacers fans, you know, love basketball and how big, you know, basketball is in the state of Indiana. It's going to be a tough environment. The crowd's going to be rocking, Steve. Obviously, you know, their players are going to have a little bit of extra juice in their backs. You know, I think it's personally going to be tough to win one here. I don't see a scenario where we win both without Giannis. I'm not feeling good, Steve. What are your kind of predictions going into Indiana?
This is going to be, you know, the toughest game that we've played all series. Clearly, I mean, we're playing them, you know, at their stadium. You heard Tyrese Haliburton, you know, and I actually kind of feel personally offended by him, you know, coming at our crowd like that. I mean, I thought I did a fairly good job of yelling at Tony Brothers, you know, yelling tech this and that. But Bobby also pointed this out too. These Pacers, you know, particularly Tyrese Haliburton, loves to talk when they're winning and when they're up, and they're very, very quiet when they're down and losing. So I don't know. I really, really want to beat them at their home stadium, but without Giannis, it's going to be tough. And, you know, game two really, really showed us why, second half of game one, even. So, Pascal Siakam, we have no answer for. And, you know, when you have someone like Miles Turner and Andrew Nembhard also chipping in with an efficient 20 points, like, we just right now don't have enough, especially if Bobby Portis isn't going to be the Bobby Portis we expect to see when Giannis doesn't play. You have other guys on our team, or pretty much our entire bench and key role players, shooting awfully. I mean, I told you that nobody made a three for us outside of Chris, Dame, and Brooke. You have Bobby, Jay, and Pat Bev shooting a 7 of 24 from the field in a must-win game too, almost, you want to call it, you know, from yesterday. So guys just need to step up, Hirsch, to win this game. They on offense, they really just got to step up. It can't just be Dame, because you can't rely on Damian Lillard to score 35 to 40 points to win you every game.
Yeah, I just feel like there's too much on his shoulders at this point. And I do think you made a good point about them being front runners. I definitely was getting pretty angry at the way that they were playing yesterday. I think that they're a team full of punks. I really think that of the players that have come out of Wisconsin, I think Tyrese Haliburton is the least likable player. Since he just constantly keeps saying, you know, bad things about Wisconsin and Milwaukee and our crowds, which is weird because he literally is from here and grew up here. So just taking random shots at the city that you grew up in is kind of a weird and kind of a bad look. But I just think he's a super unlikable player. And I also don't think he's a superstar by any means. He's a star, but he's not a superstar. He's not even in that echelon. And I don't want to hear anyone talking about how he is, because the guy's, he scored 9 points in the first game and 12 points in the second game. That to me is not, you know, superstar numbers, at least from someone who's, you know, considered a generational face of the franchise type talent. I definitely think, we might be cooked if Giannis doesn't come back. I definitely think that he's going to have to come back in this series if we want any chance of winning. My mind has been completely changed after what I saw last night, Steve. I don't think we can beat them without him. And I think, you know, that's just going to be the main storyline now, is like, when is Giannis going to come back? And, you know, is he going to be fully healthy when he does come back? I think that's, you know, the main thing that, you know, we have to be worried about now at this point.
Honestly, I don't even know. Like, okay, so, you know, it clearly depends on where Giannis is feeling at, but I don't even know if it's worth risking Giannis's health at this point. Like, I've been, you know, seeing all the, you know, media heads talking about it, but they count us out without Giannis. And, you know, again, people are going to overreact to these games, right? After game one, people were like, all right, yeah, this Pacers team is done. Now, after game two, people are saying we're screwed and this and that. So I think you just need to take it game by game here. And if Giannis, like, isn't healthy, I don't want to, like, you know, we said it on the last one, I don't want to risk anything with him. We saw what happened with Kevin Durant with his calf that ultimately turned into an Achilles injury. And Giannis isn't Kevin Durant, right? They have completely different play styles. KD was able to recover from that, like, relatively, like, fully. I don't know if Giannis would, if, you know, if it got to that point. So I just want to be, you know, cautious with him. And, you know, I've said this, like, you know, like, you know, over text, you know, off camera, or whatever. But like, if it means giving up this series or whatever, you know, making it significantly less likely that we advance to the next round for the long-term health of Giannis, like, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we definitely, I mean, I kind of agree, like, in like the, you know, macro sense of like, obviously we want our, you know, star player to be healthy going forward, but also like with this group of players, like Brooks 36, like Chris is what, 34, 33, Dame's 33. Like, we're not going to have too many more years with this group of guys. And you know, we're built to win now. This is a championship contender now when fully healthy. And we don't know how the team's necessarily going to look in, you know, 2-3 years when, you know, some of these guys are off the team and out of the league. You know, whether it be retirements or just, you know, free agency, they leave, stuff like that. So I get what you're saying. I mean, obviously we don't want Giannis to be hurt, but we're also, you know, it's a weird situation where we kind of have to, we only have like a two or three year like window with this group of guys. And we kind of have to capitalize like this year and next year and maybe the year after, depending on, you know, the level of play that Dame's at and Giannis in his early 30s. But Steve, what kind of adjustments do you think that, you know, we can make and Doc needs to make in order to slow down Pascal Siakam? Because, I mean, this isn't like a top 10 player in the league. This isn't even a top, you know, 15 player in the league. It's probably between, you know, 15 and, you know, 25 or 30. When it comes to just player rankings. Yeah, I mean, this guy's, he's averaging a 35-point triple-double, and, you know, he's not necessarily that caliber of player. I just think there's got to be something that Doc and the coaching staff can do to slow him down, because I think they've been doing a good job of, you know, at least containing a guy like Tyrese Haliburton and making it difficult on him, but I would also attribute a lot of that to Pat Beverly's defense. He's been hounding him the entire time. Really not focusing on his offensive, you know, game at all, and just focusing on, you know, slowing down Tyrese, which I love to see. I think that's a great strategy. But the other four guys on the floor that aren't guarding Tyrese Haliburton need to find a way to stop Pascal Siakam from literally getting any shot he wants. And that's on the coaching staff. Like, they got to figure out a way to scheme the defense so that he's not averaging 35 and 10.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's, you know, the obvious answer to your initial question is like Giannis is the guy who we'd want to stop Pascal Siakam, built perfectly to guard a guy like Pascal Siakam. We don't have that luxury. And I think that, you know, moving forward, kind of do what the Pacers have been doing to Dame in the second half of these games, right? Sending double teams at the guy, forcing, and, you know, I don't even know if that would have worked in game two, honestly, because guys like Miles Turner and Andrew Nembhard were making their shots. Other guys showed up for the Pacers, but you just got to force, anyone but Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Haliburton to beat you. And you know what? Even at this point, I think that you focus less on Tyrese Haliburton. I mean, he, you know, after the injury, he looked like a completely different player. You brought that up in our preview, you know, going into this series. And after watching him play, I mean, he still can't really find his shot. He'll never lose that creativity he has as a passer, and he'll always be, you know, a threat for that. But I'm okay with them leaving Tyrese Haliburton open for shots right now and until he finds it. But yeah, I think that they need to not let Pascal Siakam be the one to beat them. We need to start throwing some serious double teams at the guy, get the ball out of his hands as early as possible.
Yeah, I agree. They've got to do something to figure out, you know, how to stop him. Steve, my confidence meter going forward is pretty low. I would give us, you know, without Giannis, maybe a 25% chance to win the series. With him, I think that, you know, balloons up to maybe 70%, just because I think he literally fills in every single need that we have right now, which is a guy to guard Pascal Siakam and a guy to, you know, create his own shot and score, because that seems to be the two struggles that we have right now, is guarding Siakam and, you know, creating shots. And Giannis, you can pencil in for 30 plus a night. I mean, that's literally what the guy averages. So, I mean, he's going to get that, especially against the Pacers, who have, you know, over the course of the series. Yeah, I mean, the guy's averaging ridiculous numbers, and I think he's put up 50 and 64 against them this year. So, they clearly can't guard him. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to come back and play against them? But yeah, I think that's where my confidence meter kind of lies going forward. Obviously these next two games are going to be crucial in, you know, our chances of winning. And I think we're going to have to take at least one of them to regain home court advantage coming back to Milwaukee for game 5, Steve.
I mean, I can't hate on that, right? Like, I can't hate on you not being confident. I mean, after game one, like, feeling good, obviously, you know, you take the 1-0 lead without your best player, and it's just like, all right, can you replicate that going into game two? And they didn't. Like, I don't know. I'd say I'm like at a 5 out of 10, 50% confident in both of these teams to move on right now. I think there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of like factors that are going to like make that right. If Giannis comes back, like you said, I think it shoots our chances up, skyrockets them. Without Giannis, this team is clearly very limited. And against this Pacers team that already had our number earlier in the season, with their ability to just push the pace, we, you know, with Giannis in the game, lack athleticism and, you know, speed, all that to get back on defense. And without him, it's, I mean, it's much worse, substantially worse. So I definitely agree with you that a lot of, you know, the outcome of this series definitely depends on Giannis's health.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, the big storyline, at least for us going forward. And, you know, are the guys like, you know, Malik Beasley and Jay Crowder and Pat Connaughton. And, you know, I think he's actually played pretty well. But Pat Bev, you know, these other guys on our team, are they going to be able to step up? Even a guy like AJ Green, who, you know, has been getting some spot minutes throughout the series, you know, 6 minutes here, 10 minutes there kind of thing. You know, is he going to be able to, you know, score as well? I mean, I think those are the big question marks for our team going forward, Steve. But I think that's going to be it for today's episode of the Bucks in 6 podcast. Make sure to leave a like, download, subscribe, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Bucks in 6 FFSN. I'm Hershey Winkleman. He's Steven Dorf. And let's go, Bucks.